Good morning, everyone. Mike DiTillo along with Herb Tyler. It's our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. No, we're not at Acme. We'll be there this afternoon, 4 to 6. Herb and I will be there to talk post-game, LSU, South Carolina. But this is our pregame show, and we want to thank Gulf Coast Bank and Trust for sponsoring our pregame show as we lead up to 11 straight hours of Tiger Talk, because the Tigers will kick it off at 11 a.m. this morning. Chris Blair, along with Jacob Hester, will give you the call. And then for 90 minutes, they do post-game. And then for 2 hours, Herb and I do post-game. So we'll give you all that wall-to-wall coverage right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. We'll find out a lot about both teams today with LSU with a almost a lackluster performance last week against Nicholls State. And that's take nothing away from the Colonels. They came to play. And no matter what Brian Kelly wants to say, they got out physical up front. They got pushed around, especially on the defensive side, the football, and couldn't run the football again. So, Herb, good morning. Glad to talk to you again, and we'll see each other this afternoon at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge, for our map construction presented Purple and Gold Point After Show. How concerned are you that this football team, after two games, have not shown a lot of physicality in the run game? They haven't been able to run the football with four of the five starting offensive linemen for a year ago back.
Man, good morning, Mike. It's, you know, you go back to the last week against Nicholls, and, you know, there was a team that came out and looked like they were eager to play, looked like they were really into the game, looked like they were way more physical than the other team very early on and throughout the game, and that was Nicholls State. And it was really weird to see. And, you know, the Tigers ended up winning 44-21 just because they just overmatched Nicholls. But we didn't – it seems, you know, the fiery speech that Coach Kelly gave after the USC game didn't seem to translate into this Nicholls game. And it is concerning to see – our offensive line not really pushing people around and opening up holes. And I was talking to a good friend of mine this week about it, and we just can't put a finger on it. It has to be scheme. It can't be – at the end of the day, we can't believe it's just the fact that the guys don't have the ability to do so. It's got to be the scheme. It's got to be, you know, I guess the either overthinking it, or the scheme just doesn't call for, you know, aggressive – you know, blocking to get people out of the way. And we don't know. Maybe it's some type of zone that the guys are not understanding how to really do. Physically, you know, when you're running zone run plays, you have to all be in sync and in the same light, if you will, and dance in the same steps. But, you know, it's concerning, and they have to change that. The leading rusher for LSU last week was Caleb Jackson with 8 carries for 28 yards, and you hardly ever saw him in the game, right?
Yeah, I mean, he was almost a non-factor like he was in week one. And we thought Caleb behind this offensive line that he would sort of chew people up. Herbert looks different, but I'll be honest with you. I think Garrett Nussmeier is carrying the same two buckets of heavy water that Jaden Daniels did a year ago. It's different because both of them are different style quarterbacks. But this team, if it's going anywhere, it's riding on the back of Garrett Nussmeier. And, again, we saw Kyron Lacy show up big against the Colonels. Hopefully today it looks as though Kyle Parker will return to the lineup after suffering an elbow injury against USC. And Chris Hilton will miss his third straight game. So you need Kyle Parker in the lineup, but I think Garrett, those two buckets are still full for him, and he's still going to have to carry it for this team to get a W today.
Yeah, I'm at home in my little Yorkie. Miss Zoe, she's barking. She wants to get something in, too. She's like, yeah, Garrett Nussmeier is just the man. But, you know, Garrett went 27-37 for 302 and 6 touchdowns, and it looked very pedestrian, but he is the guy that's making it happen, right? He played great against USC. I thought he played good enough to win the game. I don't think he had a lot of help, if that makes sense. And then you turn around and you look at the Nicholls State game, and he was efficient. He did what he was supposed to do. He was in the game much longer than they anticipated because he didn't have much help. Again, the guys are playing hard. They're just not physical, and it just seems like you said, Garrett is carrying the same bucket of water. It just looks very different than what Jaden Daniels did last year. And so people, you know, when you start looking at the games and start understanding who LSU football is, I think we're all in the same light of thinking that LSU football is a combination of 2019 and 2023. And I think that's kind of a little bit unfair to the team because they're not the same team. They definitely don't have the same animals and dogs on the team that they do that's in 2019. And then in 2023, it was really a one-man show, if that makes sense at all, with the additions of Neighbors and Brian Thomas Jr., of course, and a growing or developing offensive line. The run game was still a little bit, a lot suspect, if that makes sense. We haven't really truly under Coach Kelly yet really become a dominant, push people around and run the football. You know, it's just not been there. So, you know, with all the injuries and people that are going to be out this week, LSU's going to be in for a tough task at South Carolina because that's a beautiful stadium. It's a great crowd, and it's a hard place to play. And the coach Beamer is one of the better coaches in the country. So, and it's going to be a really tough task today. And it's at 11 a.m., so we'll see what that looks like.
Yeah, and it's game day in South Carolina, too. So
game day, yes.
Yeah, so that's going to rev them up even more. You know, Bobby and I were talking about this during the week that I think from the start with Brian Kelly, it's been the biggest surprise because if you watched him coach places, even before Notre Dame, he was a guy that really relied heavily on the run. And the big offensive line at Notre Dame, they sort of pushed people around. It was their physicality. They had a ton of first-round pick offensive linemen. LSU's got a couple guys up front there now, and the two tackles in Emory Jones and Will Campbell that you know are kind of built along the same lines of what he had at Notre Dame. But it's their inability to run the football when they need to and had to. Last week, you saw Nicholls, you know, they had some holes. And I'm not trying to take nothing against Colin Guggenheim. So, Colin, if you're listening, no. God bless you.
Yeah.
You know, and I said this before. Colin, put that game, that's in the grandpa notebook. Okay, when you're going to become an old pops like me, you'll be able to tell your grandkids, man, LSU can talk all that smack, and they might have been better than us, but they wasn't better than me that day. And that long run, man, I was just hoping he could survive. We had a running joke with him and I that I did a couple interviews with him in the offseason, and he always says, man, Mr. Mike, I always hear you talk about that second number. And, you know, last year my second number, you know, he didn't want to say it, but I knew it was in the high fours. And he's down to 222, and he beat him. He got into the end zone, and he beat the tackle. But you saw Nicholls run the football right at them and run inside on LSU. And now, and we'll talk about this in our next segment about the loss of Jacoby and Guillory, but that to me has been the huge surprise, that LSU has not been able to run the football when they need to and have to under Brian Kelly. And I'm surprised at that. I really am.
Well, I think everybody is. One of the reasons why I wanted Brian Kelly to come to LSU was because of that. I thought that he could really develop the interior lines on both sides of the football, as well as bring in those, you know, larger tight ends that would really make impacts throughout the game, and then bring a sense of competition, a sense of pride, and a sense of physicality that I thought that he had brought other places, along with a little bit of nuance and creativity on the offensive side, right? And then you would also see him. He would also have at least two or three really physical yet athletic linebackers that could play really well. Now, the safeties was good. They were kind of stiff and things of that nature, but that's okay. But the offensive line and defensive line were his real, I guess it was, especially the offensive line, was really his forte. And I was so excited about that because I was thinking, man, we're going to have, you know, just trees up front, and they're going to be huge, and they're going to just push people around, and they're going to be able to pass protect with the best of them, and it's going to be awesome, but we just have not seen it yet. And I don't know if it's the dancing and the grinding on the guy in the recruiting video or if it's just a different era in college football that maybe he thinks he's tweaking his recruiting style to get a certain type of player that's developing something different in college football. I don't know. I can only assume that. So, but we're hoping that the group that he has now can turn a corner a little bit along with the coaching staff to be able to actually help these guys out scheme-wise to where they can, you know, at least garner at least 100 yards, 110 yards a game, right? So that's what I'm looking for.
When we come back, we'll talk about the development of Kyren Lacy at wide receiver as a number one, because it's different. Man, listen, when you got Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers and you lining up with them, you never going to see no double coverage or bracket coverage, never. You know, you one-on-one. It's a little different this year, but, boy, Kyren has really stepped up his game. And also, too, we'll talk about the loss of the big man in the middle, Jacobian Guillory. Man, that's tough to see. Jacobian was so anxious to play this year and make an impact in the middle as kind of that big nose guard guy to stop the run, and then he goes down with an Achilles injury. So we'll talk about the development of Kyren and also the loss of Jacobian Guillory right after this break here. And Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. We'll be back with a lot more Tiger Talk right after this break.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Good morning again, and welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler, and we will return to, as the commercial said, to our post-game show. It'll be at 4 o'clock this afternoon from Acme Oyster House, and we want to thank MAP Construction for being our presenting sponsor. Herbert talked a little bit about it, but the development of Kyren Lacy, and I know this offseason before fall camp, I talked to him, and he's like, I'm ready. He said, I'm ready to be the guy. And I said, well, you just be ready to get double coverage. And he just started to laugh. He said, I get it. He said, because I saw it, you know, I saw it for 2 years with Malik and how teams were basically trying to stop him. And I think the first 2 weeks, if there was any question about who your number one guy is, and no question anymore, it's Kyren. When they need something, they go to Kyren Lacy.
Yeah, so you go back to last year, right, and you remember Kyren having a few, what I like to call significant drops throughout the season. I just remember Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. catching any and everything that you can think of, and Kyren was going to be that number three guy that everybody would say, okay, he's going to be the number one going into the season this year in 2024. And I just remember one game, I forget who they were playing, but he dropped the ball, and he was so upset, and I could see the agony and the pain.
Texas
on his face.
A&M.
There you go.
Yeah, because he talked to me about it. He said, it still bothers me today. I said, man, shrug that off. You know, you got to move on with it. But he remembered that drop.
Yeah, and I remember it because I know what it felt like to feel like you've let your team down and on one plate, basically. But here's the thing. You turn around and you look at what he's done this start of this season, And he may not be over it as far as it may still be in his head, but he's forgotten about it. And he's turned the switch on, and he's catching any and everything. Now, it doesn't look the same as, you know, Malik Nabers or Brian Thomas Jr. And also, you know, it doesn't look like Jordan Jefferson or any of those guys either as well as who we think a typical LSU receiver should look like. But he looks daggone good. I'm going to tell you that right now. You know, and this season right now, he's got 12 catches, 159 yards with four touchdowns. He is the guy. He's the guy that Gus Nussmeier looks for when it's time to look for him. Now, I will say this, though. Against USC, he kind of went non-existent. And I don't think it was because of him. And I don't think it was because of Nussmeier. I just think it was scheme. After the first quarter, they didn't try to get the ball to him enough, in my opinion. But to get back to who he is today, he is definitely the number one guy. And he's going to need some help from one of those other young pups that's coming up to be able to help with just taking the eyes completely off of him. I think Aaron Anderson is doing a great job of playing the role that he's playing. He's really coming to his own. I think Chris Hilton, whenever he gets an opportunity to really play, get on the field, I think it's going to be crazy. Xavier Thomas is a person who is the team is really looking forward to kind of add a little spark and be a little change of pace guy, if you will. And he's doing a phenomenal job as well. And we got to get the tight ends involved to help out Kyron Lacy in order so he can really do what he does. But at the end of the day, if they need a play, just throw the ball to him. He's going to come down with it. And that's what I've seen over the course of the past two games. So I'm really excited about Kyron's play.
Oh, yeah, so am I. And, man, I remember watching him, you know, at Thibodaux High School as a basketball player. If he got coin out there and he said, let's play a pickup game, you better put that money back in your pocket because he can flat out play. He's really, really good. I think the disappointment was, and we talked about it last week, Brian Kelly brought it up twice in the press conference about he wanted to see more of Shelton Sampson. And yet you saw him make mistakes on the field. And if you could read Brian Kelly's lips real good on that, hey, do you want to play or not? You tell me, do you want to play or not? And that's just mental mistakes that Sampson's making out on the field.
You know, when it comes to that, I don't know the kid, and I think that I just remember when I was in it and doing it and all those things, the mental mistakes was really because of trying to overcomplicate what the situation is, right?
It's just
football. It's just running ins and outs and stops and goes, you know, basically in slants, right? It's just how do you get there and then when do you need to be there, right? And where are you coming from? So sometimes you just got to simplify it for them. Hey, Shelton, get at the X and just run a go route. That's it. Just run a go and throw it to him. That's it. You know, we don't need it. It don't need to be motion. It doesn't need to be X, you know, 35 slant cross D. Jump over your mama. It don't need to be all of that, right? It just needs to be, hey, Shelton, get at the X and run a go route, run a post, run a comeback, or run a simple out route, whatever it is, right? And how about we put it, make it as simple as possible for him if the scheme is, you know, too complicated for him. And it may be right now just because he's young, or maybe he's in a different headspace. But I do know this. If he can't be in the right place at the right time, on the field, he's not going to play. So Coach Kelly said it as best as anybody could. Do you want to play?
The other thing, too, is in South Carolina, and they got a dynamic duo that can come off the edge. And, man, they caused all kind of problems for Kentucky. But if you watch the game film on that, they had receivers for Kentucky that were open. The problem was they couldn't get it to him because the two guys were coming off the edge so much. Now you go up against LSU, and the one thing that has played well this year has been pass protection. And we talked about this in Sports Talk. You can see Garrett Nussmeier back there. There's not a lot of people around him. They're doing a really good job in pass protection. It's just that they can't run block real well. If they can neutralize the two edge guys, I think you're going to have a shot to really put up some pretty big numbers against the Wildcats throwing the football. Now, I don't know if they can run it, but I do know one thing, and watching that game film, man, those corners were in the, they were in the reverse position. It looked good because the two edge guys seemed to be in the backfield more than the halfback for Kentucky last week. So I think I would expect another big game from Garrett Nussmeier today.
Yeah, so, you know, you go to South Carolina and you look at their edge rushers, Dylan Stewart and Kyle Kennard. Those guys are really good. This year they each have over 2.5 sacks. So Stewart has 2.5 and Kennard has 3.5. Those guys are doing what they're supposed to do. They're getting to the quarterback, and that's that puts a strain on the back end of your defense, safeties, and cornerbacks. Not put a strain on it, but it makes it easier for them. Those guys doesn't have to. I mean, they're like, okay, they're going to get in the backfield, they're going to make a sack, or they're going to really interrupt the passer, and it'll make it easier for the DBs to make a play. Well, here's the thing: the kicker with LSU. You're going up against two of the best offensive tackles in the country. And so this is going to be a really great test for those two guys. We're going to see exactly who they are and what they're made of. I know they're tough as nails, and I know they're competitive, and I know they talk a lot of trash. So it's going to be fun to watch those that game inside the game, or the battle inside the game on those two edges, and see how that looks. Now, we're going to see if they can handle any kind of stunts or anything like that South Carolina may bring to them to try to alleviate trying to get past those two outstanding bookends on each side as far as the two tackles are concerned. So that's going to be interesting to see. And it's also going to be interesting to see how do you combat a good rushing defense, right? Screen plays, you know. Letting them come in and get past everybody, and then dumping the ball over their head, and gaining some big time yards. So we'll see what kind of scheme the offensive coaches come up with and game plan this week that's going to combat that and help that offensive line, as well as help Nussmeier not stand in the face of just guys that are ready to tee off on them. So it's going to be interesting to see, and it's going to be fun to watch.
You know, one of the things in talking to Pat Swilling, we've had him on Sports Talk so many times, and Pat said the worst thing, man, I love to rush the quarterback so much, but the thing that slowed me down, they run the football right at me.
Right at him, yep.
Okay, mm-hmm. And that takes a little bit of your aggression to get up the field out of the window, because you're so focused on trying to be a pass rusher, and then they get physical with you, then you're not quite as aggressive coming off the snap. The next snap when they might throw the football. So that slows down a pass rusher more than anything when they run right at you. Herb, hang tight. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show to be our Inside the Tiger Den segment, brought to you by Go Tax Resolution. We'll have on with us Jeff Palermo from Louisiana Radio Network, breaking down the Tigers South Carolina game, and you can hear it right here live on the Big 870 WWL at 8:11 a.m. We'll be back with more of our pregame coverage of the Tigers right after this break. Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTelli along with Herb Tyler. And now it's time for our Inside the Tiger Den segment, brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from Louisiana Radio Network, Jeff Palermo. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Hope you got a little bit of coffee in you by now.
Not yet, Mike. Not yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
Okay, it's a slow process, so to speak. I get it. Jeff, I think today's game will tell a lot about both teams because maybe you watched the first game for South Carolina. They really weren't impressive, and then I'm not really sure how good Kentucky is. I mean, they took it to them and physically beat them up, but I don't know. Again, looking at that Wildcat team this year, they don't seem to have a lot of the similarities we've seen with some of the Kentucky teams in the past and with LSU. It was almost like we just going to roll the helmets out last weekend against Nichols. Nichols took it to him. I don't care what Brian Kelly says. They physically got moved around up front. I think this game against a team at 11 o'clock in the morning, game day there, is going to tell you a little bit of about both teams and what type of clubs both of them have.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see where LSU as far as its mental makeup, Mike. I mean,
I agree.
As you mentioned, they just kind of sleptwalked through that game against Nichols. And the reasons that Coach Brian Kelly gave for it are all understandable, and I get it. I think any of us that go to Las Vegas for a weekend are a little sluggish the next week, right? I mean, that's kind of how it is.
So, Herb, you want to comment on that or what?
Yeah, man, I was sure bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to roll the next week.
I'm sure, but seriously, I'm kind of wondering where the makeup is. You know, you put everything you had for several months into that USC game, and you come up short again in a season opener, and then you play Nichols, and you're hoping you can run the football, and you still really can't run the football, and Colin Guggenheim is ripping off long runs against you, and just a lot of the things that you were hoping to at least get accomplished in that game, you were not able to accomplish. And so you come into this game saying, hey, we still want to run the football. You know, we heard from Emory Jones that, hey, this is what we're working on. It's a point of emphasis. We got to get it done. We're fighting, scratching, and clawing to get it done. So let's see the makeup of this team here, and if they really feel that, hey, they're one of the 12 teams that should be in a college football playoff. I think that's kind of what I'm anticipating or looking forward to seeing, just how they come out and play. Are they ready to go here at 11 a.m.?
Herb?
Jeff, do you think – let me ask you this. After seeing this team play 2 weeks in a row, do you think they can turn the aggression, just the sheer want to and the physicality, do you think they can turn that around today?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, they talked about it all off season about that this is what they wanted to do. I mean, we heard Will Campbell talking quite a bit about it before the season, and it certainly hasn't happened. And then on the flip side, on the defensive line, you're losing your best defensive tackle. Your five-star prospect, you can't get him on the field as far as a freshman and Dominic McKinley. And so, let's see what they're made of, especially on that offensive line, because by all accounts, the strength of the South Carolina team is their defensive line. And so for South Carolina, I think for them to have any kind of a chance in this game, they're going to have to really be disruptive. They're going to have to get in the face of Garrett Nussmeier. They're going to have to make him feel uncomfortable. Garrett Nussmeier now has 3 starts under his belt, but this is really his first true road start. Now, he's been around. He's been on the sidelines. He understands the environment, so I think that certainly does help. But it's a little bit different when the bullets start flying. So I'm eager to see what happens in the line of scrimmage today and whether LSU can control it and this offensive line, all this talk about them, all this hype about them, this is a game where they certainly need to show up.
Whit Weeks has been the guy on the defensive side, the football. When you looked at it defensively, front 7, man, he is all over the field. You can see his instincts as a football player. He rarely takes a false step. His ability to close in fast on the ball carrier, he can run east and west really well. And from what I see, he has gotten better in the coverage part of the game of putting himself in reverse and being able to kind of watch the eyes of a quarterback. Your thoughts on Weeks? And because you can hear Brian talking about, I'm going to play more 3 linebacker sets more with Weeks, with Greg Penn Jr., and Harold Perkins, who he was in the witness protection agency last week against Nichols. So your thoughts on Whit Weeks?
Well, I mean, I think when we watched last year, the feeling was, hey, this kid should be playing more. I understand he's a freshman. Yeah. But once Omar Spates got healthy, Weeks went back to the sideline. So this is a kid that it's hard just not to notice him on the football field. He always seems to be around the ball. he looks like a guy that can shed blocks. And I think that's one of the biggest things that you see with Harold Perkins is his inability to really do that. And Weeks can do it. And I get it. This really is the perfect team to bring out the, you know, a three linebacker set, go to more of a 4-3 instead of playing a nickel, because I mean, South Carolina is not going to throw for, at least they shouldn't. They, who knows with LSU's
bite
defense.
Bite your tongue on that, Jeff.
Yeah. But they shouldn't be able to throw for over, I'll give them 250 yards. Maybe they throw for 200, they have a good day. But they're not going to be throwing the ball all over the place. So, and they're going to try to win this game by controlling the football, running it with their quarterback and their running backs. And that's how they're going to win. So it's a perfect game to get three linebackers out there, see how it looks, and then see if putting Harold Perkins a little bit more on the edge, whether that makes a difference that we certainly notice him here a lot more this afternoon.
You know, interesting stat, guys, just so y'all know, SEC college football total defensive stats for 2024, LSU is last. Even though it doesn't look like they're playing bad, if that makes any sense, there's times where it doesn't look good. But LSU right now is leading the SEC with total yards gained on, which is 742 over the past two games. So they're dead last right now in that.
Well, that hasn't changed from last year. It's sort of the same carbon copy. And so and you got different schemes. So, man, you got to find playmakers here. And Jeff, one of the guys, and he sort of talked it up this week, is Parrish Chan, who's getting his opportunity now with Jacoby and Guillory out. You got to count on Parrish to become a bigger part of your defense up front, because, man, if Nicholls State is moving you around, you know, you got other teams down the road that got a lot more talent, say, up front along the offensive line than the Colonels do.
Well, I think one of the reasons why the belief is that LSU's defense does look better from a season ago is because I think you notice the defensive line a lot more this season, despite last year's defensive line having three defensive tackles that were drafted. But they're just a little more active. You know, the ends are Savion Jones, of course, had a really nice game against USC, and Parrish Chan is off to a really nice start. I mean, this is a guy that's played a lot of football. Yep. 3 years at Arizona, now in the second season at LSU. I mean, if the light doesn't come on now, it's never going to come on. And now
he does get
the opportunity. Now he gets the opportunity to move inside. I think you're going to see a lot of him there and see what he can do. He seems bigger. The guy is he's got a great attitude. He's probably one of the better interviews as far as player-wise goes for LSU. So, he's a guy we're going to see a lot more from. I'm kind of interested to see Sean Washington, what he can do to the junior college transfer. I know Brian Kelly really talked him up, saying that he did a nice job for Jacoby and Guillory, but I still think that the Guillory injury is just
it's a massive loss for this team. It is a
punch to the gut. There's no doubt about it. When you started the season and you sit there and said, hey, who are the three or four guys at LSU can't afford to lose? He was one of them. And that's a tough one right there. And now you're, as we mentioned, they're going up against a team that's going to want to try to run the ball, run it right at you. So these defensive tackles, this is where Bo Davis makes his money, right? This is where this is why you go out and get a guy like Bo Davis, one of the best defensive line coaches in the country, to see if you can't coach him up and have them play a little bit, have them play a little bit better than their capabilities.
Wilson Alexander is reporting this morning. Wilson does a fantastic job covering the Tigers, and Wilson's under a difficult situation personal-wise with his wife, but he is reporting that Jordan Allen won't play today
at
the strong safety position. And so, man, a spot where that's another position where Deshaun Spears now, young guy, hey kid, you were the number two guy, but you're the starter now, so you got to play like a starter. And so that thins out an area at the safety position where you're going to have to play the young kids and see what they got.
Well, Well, and I think Brian Kelly, I think both on the defensive line and the defensive secondary, I see LSU playing a bunch of guys. I mean, I just think, you know, all of them. I mean, I think he alluded to it maybe a couple of weeks ago where, you know, these guys in defensive secondary, you're looking to get, you know, 30 to 40 plays with them and you're rotating guys in and out. The play of Zy Alexander was good, but hey, this guy was one of the best cornerbacks in the Southland Conference 2 years ago. So you
sure
go up against
was.
The Southland Conference. So he goes up against the Southland Conference team. You expect him to look good. What makes it at least a little bit better is the fact that it was his first game since tearing his ACL last October. So getting him back in the mix of things, that can get Sage Ryan back to safety. That gets him to his natural position. So hopefully, with the injury to Jordan Allen, and now you got at least Sage over there at safety, and so maybe that might not be as big of a loss. But Deshaun Spears, Kylan Jackson, those are two young safeties that I think for LSU.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Morning, everyone, and welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTellier along with Herb Tyler. And now it's time for our Inside the Tiger Den segment brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from Louisiana Radio Network, Jeff Palermo. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Hope you got a little bit of coffee in you by now.
Not yet, Mike. Not yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
Okay, it's a slow process, so to speak. I get it. Jeff, I think today's game will tell a lot about both teams because maybe you watched the first game for South Carolina. They really weren't impressive, and then I'm not really sure how good Kentucky is. I mean, they took it to them and physically beat them up, but I don't know. Again, looking at that Wildcat team this year, they don't seem to have a lot of the similarities we've seen with some of the Kentucky teams in the past and with LSU. It was almost like we just going to roll the helmets out last weekend against Nichols. Nichols took it to them. I don't care what Brian Kelly says. They physically got moved around up front. I think this game against a team at 11 o'clock in the morning, game day there, is going to tell you a little bit of about both teams and what type of clubs both of them have.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see where LSU as far as its mental makeup, Mike. I mean,
I agree.
As you mentioned, they just kind of sleptwalked through that game against Nichols, and the reasons that Coach Brian Kelly gave for it are all understandable, and I get it. I think any of us that go to Las Vegas for a weekend are a little sluggish the next week, right? I mean, that's kind of how it is.
So, Herb, you want to comment on that or what?
Yeah, man, I was sure bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to roll the next week.
I'm sure, but seriously, I'm kind of wondering where the makeup is. You know, you had you put everything you had for several months into that USC game, and you come up short again in a season opener, and then you play Nichols, and you're hoping you can run the football, and you still really can't run the football. And Colin Guggenheim is, you know, ripping off long runs against you, and you know, just a lot of the things that you were hoping to at least get accomplished in that game, you were not able to accomplish. And so you come into this game saying, "Hey, we still want to run the football." You know, we heard from Emory Jones that, "Hey, this is what we're working on. It's a point of emphasis. We got to get it done." We're fighting, scratching, and clawing to get it done. So let's see the makeup of this team here, and if they really feel that, hey, that they're one of the 12 teams that should be in a college football playoff. I think that's kind of what I'm anticipating or looking forward to seeing, just how they come out and play. Are they ready to go here at 11 a.m.?
Herb?
Jeff, do you think – let me ask you this. After seeing this team play 2 weeks in a row, Do you think they can turn the aggression, the sheer want to and the physicality? Do you think they can turn that around today?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, they talked about it all off season about what that this is what they wanted to do. I mean, we heard Will Campbell talking quite a bit about it before the season, and it certainly hasn't happened. And then on the flip side, on the defensive line, you're losing your best defensive tackle, your five-star prospect. You can't get him on the field as far as a freshman and Dominic McKinley. And so, yeah, let's see what they're made of, especially on that offensive line, because by all accounts, that this the strength of the South Carolina team is their defensive line. And so for South Carolina, I think for them to have any kind of a chance in this game, they're going to have to really be disruptive. They're going to have to get in the face of Garrett Nussmeier. They're going to have to make him feel uncomfortable. Garrett Nussmeier now has three starts under his belt, but this is really his first true road start. Now, he's been around. He's been on the sidelines. He understands the environment, so I think that certainly does help. But it's a little bit different when the bullets start flying. So yeah. I'm eager to see what happens in the line of scrimmage today and whether LSU can control it. And this offensive line, all this talk about them, all this hype about them, you know, this is a game where they certainly need to show up.
Whit Weeks has been the guy on the defensive side, the football. When you looked at it defensively, front seven, man, he is all over the field. You can see his instincts as a football player. He rarely takes a false step. His ability to close in fast on the ball carrier, he can run east and west really well. And from what I see, he has gotten better in the coverage part of the game of putting himself in reverse and being able to kind of watch the eyes of a quarterback. Your thoughts on Weeks, and because you can hear Brian talking about, I'm going to play more three linebacker sets more with Weeks, with Greg Penn Jr., and Harold Perkins, who he was in the Witness Protection Agency last week against Nichols. So your thoughts on Whit Weeks?
Well, I mean, I think when we watched last year, the feeling was, hey, this kid should be playing more. I understand he's a freshman. Yeah. But once Omar Spates got healthy, Weeks went back to the sideline. So this is a kid that, it's hard just not to notice him on the football field. He always seems to be around the ball. He looks like a guy that could shed blocks. And I think that's one of the biggest things that you see with Harold Perkins is his inability to really do that. And Weeks can do it. And I get it. This really is the perfect team to bring out the, a three linebacker set, go to more of a 4-3 instead of playing a nickel, because I mean, mm-hmm. South Carolina is not going to throw for, at least they shouldn't. Who knows with LSU's
bite
defense.
Bite your tongue on that, Jeff.
Yeah. But they shouldn't be able to throw for over, I'll give them 250 yards. Maybe they throw for 200. Yeah. They have a good day, but they're not going to be throwing the ball all over the place. And they're going to try to win this game by controlling the football, running it with their quarterback and their running backs, and that's how they're going to win. So it's a perfect game to get three linebackers out there, see how it looks, and then see if putting Harold Perkins a little bit more on the edge, whether that makes a difference that we certainly notice him here a lot more this afternoon.
You know, interesting stat, guys, just so y'all know, SEC College Football Total defensive stats for 2024, LSU is last. Even though it doesn't look like they're playing bad, if that makes any sense, there's times where it doesn't look good. But LSU right now is leading the SEC with total yards gained on, which is 742 over the past two games. So they're dead last right now in that.
Well, that hadn't changed from last year. It's sort of the same carbon copy. And so, and you got different schemes. So, man, you got to find playmakers here. And Jeff, one of the guys, and he sort of talked it up this week, is Parrish Chan, who's getting his opportunity now with Jacoby and Guillory out. You got to count on Paris to become a bigger part of your defense up front, because, man, if Nichols State is moving you around, You know, you got other teams down the road that got a lot more talent, say, up front along the offensive line than the Colonels do.
Well, I think one of the reasons why the belief is that LSU's defense does look better from a season ago is because I think you notice the defensive line a lot more this season.
Yes.
Despite last year's defensive line having three defensive tackles that were drafted. But they're just a little more active. You know, the ends are Savion Jones, of course, had the really nice game against USC. And Parrish Shand is off to a really nice start. I mean, this is a guy that's played a lot of football. Yep. 3 years at Arizona, mm-hmm. now in the second season at LSU. I mean, if the light doesn't come on now, it's never going to come on.
And now
the opportunity. Now he gets the opportunity to move inside. I think you're going to see a lot of him there and see what he can do. He seems bigger. The guy is he's got a great attitude. He's probably one of the better interviews as far as player-wise goes for LSU. So he's a guy we're going to see a lot more from. I'm kind of interested to see Sean Washington, what he can do to the junior college transfer. I know Brian Kelly really talked him up saying that he did a nice job for Jacoby and Guillory, but I still think that the Guillory injury is just
it's a
punch to the gut. There's no doubt about it. When you started the season and you sit there and said, hey, who are the three or four guys that LSU can't afford to lose? He was one of them. And that's a tough one right there. And now you're, as we mentioned, they're going up against a team that's going to want to try to run the ball, run it right at you. So these defensive tackles, this is where Bo Davis makes his money, right? This is where this is why you go out and get a guy like Bo Davis, one of the best defensive line coaches in the country, to see if you can't coach him up and have them play a little bit, have them play a little bit better than their capabilities.
Wilson Alexander is reporting this morning. Wilson does a fantastic job covering the Tigers, and Wilson's under a difficult situation personal-wise with his wife, but he is reporting that Jordan Allen won't play today
at
the strong safety position. And so, man, a spot where that's another position where Deshaun Spears now, young guy, hey kid, you were the number two guy, but you're the starter now, so you got to play like a starter. And so that thins out an area at the safety position where you're going to have to play the young kids and see what they got.
I think Brian Kelly, both on the defensive line and the defensive secondary, I see LSU playing a bunch of guys. I mean, I just think, all of them. I mean, I think he alluded to it maybe a couple of weeks ago where, these guys in defensive secondary, you're looking to get, 30 to 40 plays with them and you're rotating guys in and out. The play of Zy Alexander was good, but hey, this guy was one of the best cornerbacks in the Southland Conference 2 years ago. So he goes up against the Southland Conference team. You expect him to look good. What makes it at least a little bit better is the fact that it was his first game since tearing his ACL last October. So getting him back in the mix of things, that can get Sage Ryan back to safety. That gets him to his natural position. So hopefully, with the injury to Jordan Allen, now you got at least Sage over there at safety, and so maybe that might not be as big of a loss. But Deshaun Spears, Kylan Jackson, those are two young safeties that I think for LSU to really see an improvement in defense this year, those two young guys really, they need to make some positive steps forward. They really need to develop quickly as far as acceleration of their development here for LSU to get to where they want to be, especially come November as far as a defensive team.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Go get you some coffee and some breakfast.
Yeah.
And but, man, we appreciate you waking up early and contributing to the show, as always. Great job, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you,
no
Jeff.
Problem, guys. Got to get a workout in, too, man. Got to stay heart healthy, too, all right?
I got you.
That's right.
That was Jeff Palermo in our Inside the Tiger Den segment. And it's brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team, Go Tax Go. We'll be back in finishing up here in our number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here on our number one on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. And Herb, I brought it up, so we'll do this real quick before we finish off. But I just think that loss of Jacoby and Guillory in the middle is big for this football team, because you were sort of paper thin up front to begin with, even with Jacobian.
Paper thin. He's the leader on the team. He's a guy that everybody looked up to and was expecting a great season with. So it's going to be tough. Tough to bounce back from that.
Yeah, and so and I know one thing. I know what South Carolina's going to do today. I mean, they saw that film of Nicholls State, too. They're going to run the football right at them.
That's right. I mean, you got to see what's going to happen. You got to test those waters. So, I mean, I would do the same if I were them.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. Want to thank MAP Construction being our presenting sponsor right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here on our number one on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. And Herb, I brought it up, so we'll do this real quick before we finish off. But I just think that loss of Jacoby and Guillory in the middle is big for this football team, because you were sort of paper thin up front to begin with, even with Jacobian.
Paper thin. He's the leader on the team. He's a guy that everybody looked up to and was expecting a great season with. So it's going to be tough. Tough to bounce back from that.
Yeah, and so and I know one thing. I know what South Carolina's going to do today. I mean, they saw that film of Nicholls State, too. They're going to run the football right at them.
That's right. I mean, you got to see what's going to happen. You got to test those waters. So, I mean, I would do the same if I were them.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. Want to thank MAP Construction being our presenting sponsor right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.